we got some stuff to get into today, man.
Aí, você aí. Não tenta não, cumpadre.
Where are your glasses, bro?
Oh, yeah. Right here.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
It's not a podcast till my glasses come on, is it?
It's not, actually. It's not. If this is
even real. It's counterfeit. I'm like not even myself.
It's not you. I don't know what you got. Well, I could barely recognize you. I was like, Where are your glasses, please?
I just want to thank everyone, OC, for going on this journey. The Jason and OC podcast. We are back. OC looks like a guy in the off season that's ready to get a new contract. I'm just gonna be honest.
He's ready to go.
I mean, you are physically fit.
Yeah, I'm imposing. I'm physically imposing, Jason.
He is ready to go. Get that new contract or an extension or whatever else you want to call it.
Yeah.
Before we get going on that, I have a real question for you.
Mm.
Whenever I call you on the phone,
yeah,
before you answer the phone,
mm.
do you ask yourself, I wonder how long this call will last?
I say to myself, do I have a spare hour and a half? I look at the phone and I say to myself, I love my guy, but do I have a spare hour and a half today?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You had real life stuff going on yesterday. And I talked to you for 50 minutes and you said, J-Bell, I really have to go.
I got to go. My people are still at the airport, man. They won't let their board. Give me 1 second, Jay.
Just 1 second. While I sort out and figure out my entire life. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Everybody's got to have a friend like that, right?
No, listen. Let me tell you something, man. You know, Jason, like, you know me. I don't really like people, right?
True.
So like when I get you on the phone or when you call me, like, I enjoy the conversation. So I just sit there because I barely talk to anybody. So I just sit and I just listen. I'm like, yeah. But yesterday I was in the middle of a family crisis. Jason,
I gotta go, man. I'm sweating. I'm sorry.
Oh man.
I'm sorry.
It's all good, bro.
Oh my God!
I love the phone calls, man. We're not on there just shooting the breeze. Like we're actually talking about some real stuff most of the time. So yeah, I enjoy it.
Absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth. You know, it's hot outside, OC.
Yeah.
And I think when it's hot outside, things can go to an extreme level. People kind of turn up because the heat's turned up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna send you this video. I saw somebody turning up on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll find this really funny, but let me explain it to you first of all.
Okay.
I see this guy. First of all, I hear this music, like house music, dun, 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 you know, thumping,
mm-hmm.
you know. Not Uprise.
Okay.
It wasn't Uprise fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It was just loud.
Loud, okay.
So I see this guy. He's got his shirt off.
Mm.
He's obviously done at least 7 close grip push-ups before.
Okay.
He was popping. He was greasy. He could have oiled up. It could have been a natural bike sweat or it could have been manufactured.
Oil. Gotcha.
He's out there bumping music. He's got this huge speaker. He sits his bike up and it's this pathway where people got to walk.
Mm.
And he is banging. Cracks a beer, has a cigarette.
Okay.
Partying.
Yeah.
Straight, I mean, it was bothering me.
Yep.
But then the dude showed me true compassion.
Okay.
Every time a little kid walked by, a stroller, anything, he turned the music down.
Mm.
An old person would walk by, turn the music down.
Got you.
Then
got
go right back up.
Okay.
So he was tripping because it was hot, but yet he was aware.
Yeah.
Heat, man.
Don't you like those kind of people, though?
I love them.
I don't mind those kind of people, you know?
I had a problem, then I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, man, look at this dude. And then I was like, you know what? Man's got some humanity in there. Oiled up, six pack he was trying to work with.
He had that.
What'd you say? We talked about before when nobody has a job, they just got time to work out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he had that look. I got you. You know who else has that look?
Who's that?
Cristiano Ronaldo. Did you see what happened 2 days ago? Did you see that? With the Coca-Cola?
When he moved it off the thing? Yeah, he was like, we don't drink this. We don't drink this.
Do you know what really, really got my attention? This morning, I wake up and I'm reading the reports on Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Their market cap went down $5 billion after he did that.
How could it go down that fast?
$5 billion.
In how many? In a day?
One day. One day after this man took the Coca-Cola.
They sold off that much stock?
$5 billion loss. Because of what he did.
Ronaldo has flex.
What?
Ronaldo basically Imagine told. That. How many followers does he have on Instagram?
Hundreds of millions.
If you see somebody with that much leverage, say something against your product. 92 million people on Twitter.
How many on Instagram, Simon?
We've confirmed through Simon, 92 million on Twitter and 300 million on Instagram. Okay, this makes sense. This makes sense. He basically told all those kids, don't touch this.
Don't drink Coke.
Wow.
Market cap.
Wow. Look, Simon's drinking a Coke right now, though. He don't care.
You don't care nothing about Ronaldo.
He don't care nothing about that market cap. Nothing. If Coca-Cola was paying Ronaldo, would he have moved it?
Yes.
You think he would have?
100%.
Wow.
And the only reason why I say that is because, like, if you follow him, he stands for that. If you understand what I mean. Like,
yeah.
He is about that. I don't drink this type of stuff.
Yes.
He doesn't endorse that kind of stuff. None of that.
Right.
I mean, of course, they probably tried to approach him about, you know, endorsing their product. He probably refused, you know, Pepsi, all those sugary drinks, you know, that aren't supposedly good for you, but I drink all the time.
your wine and Coke?
Yeah. all those things that aren't good for you, but I drink them all the time.
Oh my gosh.
He doesn't endorse none of that, man. And the ability of a single athlete to make the market cap for a behemoth company shoot down by $5 billion, bro.
And he's truly global.
Yeah.
That's the impact, right? We forget about, you got to look at, when you look at the Coca-Cola company, you look at what they do outside of the U.S., they are a global brand. That product is sold all around the world. So when you have someone like him, who is a global figure, who's huge, it makes complete sense. My daughter, watching the game the other day, I'm watching a little bit of it, and I was like, you know, he did something sweet. I was like, do you know who he is? And she was like, yes. I was like, oh my gosh. I was just immediately. She's like, oh, I know who he is. She knows him and Marcus Rashford. So that's how she's rolling. That changes the market cap quickly. Are you going to still drink Coke?
Absolutely. 100%. I don't care nothing about what Ronaldo says. I love Ronaldo as a human being. I could care less about anything that comes out of his mouth. I could care less. Like,
nothing to do with him.
I'm going to drink my Coke. I'm going to work out. I'm going to drink my Coke. I'm going to eat pizza, ice cream, fries, all the bad things. All the things that they tell you not to do. You know why?
Oh my gosh.
Because they still haven't figured out how to not die, Jason.
Nobody's figured out. You waiting for that data?
until they can tell me, if you don't drink this, you won't die at all.
Oh my God. then everything's open.
Everything's open for me, man. Everything's open for me. Get out of here with that.
Oh,
you
know,
your life absconding from all these simple pleasures, and then a bus hits you. You're like, what? I could have eaten all
I missed out on all that sugar. Enjoy your life, O.
Enjoy your life, O.
Oh my gosh.
Just trying to be balanced.
That is the absolute truth. And thinking of that, are you enjoying the Euros?
Yeah, I think the first couple of games I didn't watch, but you know, France versus Germany, I watched the Portugal versus Hungary game really well, except for Portugal came through in the end. Two by Cristiano Ronaldo. Maybe I won't drink Coke, actually. But you know, they've been good. They've been good so far. England won the game, you know. Mm-hmm. Ooh, speaking of.
Yeah.
Have you been keeping up with these players taking the knee?
Yes.
And, you know, the fans booing and all that type of stuff. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, Jason?
How about you go first? Because I think you got something.
What are my thoughts on them taking the knee and what are my thoughts on the fans booing? Okay. My thoughts on them taking the knee are, my thoughts on the fans booing are, if I was in the stands, right? Mm-hmm. Watching the players. If I was in the stands watching the players take the knee, you know what I would do, Jason?
Tell me.
I would boo so loud that the racist in there would look at me like, what is wrong with you? What is this guy's problem? That's how loud I would be booing.
Oh my gosh.
I would boo so loud it would be like, this guy is a nutcase.
Tell me why.
I'm gonna tell you why.
Tell me why. I'm interested.
You've known me since 2005, mm-hmm. so 16 years. Mm-hmm. There's two things that I really hate. I hate hypocrisy, number one, and number two, I don't like when people take the easy way out. Like I do not like when people take the easy way out, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you actually don't take the knee, you're looked at as a crazy person. You're now the outlier. It has become so acceptable to take the knee that everybody is doing it. And you know what that means? It has lost its value to me, just to me. I'm not saying about everybody else's feelings, what everybody else thinks. To me, the fact that it has become acceptable to do that, the fact that it has become commonplace, the fact that it has become easy to just sit there and take a knee, you know what that means? That means you're really not doing anything. And now you get to just sit there before the game, take a knee, tick the box, and say, yes, guess what? We did something. And in fact, you didn't do anything. Mm. Because Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid, Megan Rapinoe, the people who actually put their neck on the line and sacrificed, they did something. Mm-hmm. They were the ones who went out there on the limb and were like, we need change. Everybody else doing it now, to me, is just like, it has lost its meaning. It doesn't mean anything anymore. This is how you're standing up for racism.
Do you think it means something to them that they were the catapult to this and that it's still in effect and people are still doing it? Don't you think they believe that what they sacrificed was worth it?
When was the last time you heard from Colin Kaepernick or Eric Reid?
Yeah, it's been a while, but they're doing things. But yeah, I haven't heard them come out and make a statement.
Why?
I'm not sure. Maybe they let the movement talk for itself.
Exactly. It has gotten to the place now where I believe that they're looking at this like, this isn't what we actually, and I think that the manager for, was it Crystal Palace? I think came out and said something similar. What I'm saying, he was like, this doesn't mean anything anymore. Everybody's mm-hmm. doing it. Mm-hmm. We have to actually find something that actually does something. I read a tweet this morning and it was so interesting. They were like, okay, if racism is power plus prejudice, how come it seems that everybody's focused on the prejudice, but the people with the power, nobody's really saying anything to them?
Yeah, people with the power have always used prejudice to keep the focus off of them.
Exactly. And that's all I'm saying, Jay. Like, we need to shift to addressing the economics. We need to shift to addressing the power, the people with the power. Because all this, let's take a knee. Oh, let's put a little black square on our Instagram. Like, what is that? Like, what do you? I don't know, man. I'm just not on that vibe, man. I actually need to do things that address the issue, that address the problem. You know.
You have a very interesting perspective, and I know how you think, so nothing really surprises me. Your perception on things always evolve, which is I genuinely enjoy, because I learned something by the way your brain continues to morph into different ways of thinking about this. And the beauty in all this is we've always kind of thought differently on this, but yet always come to the same conclusion about there needs to be real steps and measures put in place. I will say this. Athletes and activism is here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Once athletes understood how they had power to do this and how to do this, it is not going anywhere. And there in this world, OC, there are leaders, there are followers, and it's okay, whoever you are. I always say this about myself. I have this ability to follow the right people. I just do. I can pick the right people to follow. And it's worked for me. Now I'm going to think on my own and make decisions that are good for me and my family and the people I care about. But yet, I'm a pretty good follower. When I look at what they're doing and you look at where we are, I read something, I think it was in The Atlantic that was talking about this, and they polled and they got some data. And it was basically, it was US centric, obviously. And it was talking about how many people actually care about these racial issues compared to when George Floyd was on video. And it's changed. People were extremely upset when they saw the video because it was painful. They saw it. It was something that they were like, this is egregious. This can't happen. And you saw a shift. You saw a change. Well, it's tilting back. And the only way to remind people that it hasn't changed is to let them know, to continue to discuss it, to continue to force the conversation. And I think that athletes, especially because in athletics, we are all one. We are usually all from different backgrounds. We look different. We might talk different. And that gives us the ability to understand and love our differences, that we be the ones at the forefront of this, because a lot of people don't have that kind of exposure. A lot of people aren't in a situation where they have all these people from different walks of life in their life, and they are forced to work, understand, and become family with these people, you know, from all different parts of the world and demographics and things like that. So I appreciate what athletes are doing, and I do not expect them to have the answer. I don't put the pressure on them. They don't have to always know exactly what they want to do. They can just stand up for what they believe in, like everyone else in this society, OC. People have problems with all kind of stuff. And you know what? I might not agree with it, but they have the right to step out there and make a point to let everyone know that this is unacceptable to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve it, whatever it is. And I am very accepting of that, because I believe in what these players are doing. I believe in what they stand for. And I believe it because all I can see is young people looking up and saying, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why, mommy? Why, daddy? Why? And having to articulate that answer to young kids is so important, because they're our future, and they will force change. So I know what you mean. I know where you're coming from, and I know how you're looking at it. But from my perspective, it's like, do whatever you think you can do to keep the narrative of what you believe in going.
Mm. Well said, Jason. Well said. I completely hear you, completely understand and agree. In no form or fashion am I against activism.
You are an activist. I'm against
false activism. That's right. What I'll say. I'm against false activism. Tokenism is what I'm against, is what I will say. Tokenism.
Do you think it's because you are everything kind of about the person you are is you're just about action?
Yeah. I think it's because, you know, just being from where I'm from, seeing the issues from a global perspective, understanding where the real problems are, understanding where the real problems lie. Well, in my perspective, what I think the real problems are. And when I see those things not being addressed, right? When I see everybody focused on the window dressing, right? It bothers me, man. It just really does. And so if I can see the FA or, you know, these big corporations, you know, sitting over here saying, yes, go ahead, take a knee, but you really haven't done anything to address the economics or the financial situation or the fact that there's no Black people on your board. Like, you haven't done nothing to address that. But you're like, yes, yes, please take a knee. In my head, I'm like, really? You know, like really?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And to me, that's what it all boils down to. Like, I want to see it. I don't mind you not doing anything. I don't. I'm okay with you not doing anything at all. Because everybody isn't bold enough, everybody isn't brave enough to step out there and say, oh, listen, I'm gonna put my neck on the line for the people. I'm gonna put my neck on the line for the cause. Everybody doesn't have the ability to do that. I probably wouldn't have had the ability to do that. I'm okay with that. But what I don't like and what I can't stand is when you just go out there and make a show of it. Or when you go out there and act like you're doing something when you're really not doing anything. Just don't do anything at all. Mm. That's just the way I see it. And, you know, I could be wrong.
I see what you're saying. Okay, the way I'm going to look at this is from an organizational standpoint, because I hear exactly what you're saying. All right, we know money organizes well, OC.
Yep.
It always has. And money has to organize well because they're a limited amount of the population, right? There's less of them.
Yep.
So they have to organize their money well to do whatever they need to do to keep that power. Because there's one thing that is a zero-sum game, and that's power,
yep.
Right? If I lose my power, if you get more power, I lose power, period. You know, it doesn't stay the same. They're not printing more power.
Yep.
So that being said, the one thing that defeats well-organized money is organized people. And what you need is you need leaders that can clearly define in a digestible manner what the movement is, what it's about, and you need a lot of people to just follow. You need a lot of people to have a problem, to force change, because those in power, that is the one thing that concerns them, is the masses infiltrating that power, making it hard for them to do whatever they do from an economical standpoint to continue to have that power. So, there are people that you might look at and you say, what are they doing? But those people are very important because it's all about numbers.
Okay. Now, here's the thing, right? The people in power that you talked about, right? The people in power that we all know about, when they say, yes, this is okay for you to do now. Matter of fact, do it. What does that tell you? When the people who it's going to affect the most change, when those people now say, yes, yeah, do it. Take that knee. Yeah, we support that. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you?
It tells me that they've priced it in. I mean, it also tells me that wherever their revenue is coming from, they've realized that those people are okay with it. Those people are okay with that. They don't have to be okay with it. It's where the money's coming from.
Period.
Listen, if my stadium is XYZ Stadium and that company says, hey, you better let those players do that. Okay.
Yep.
No problem. But I guess my point is, all that happened because of protest. All that happened is because people followed. So yes, you are going to look at some people and a leader like yourself might say, okay, what are we doing? What are you doing? What, give me more. But all it takes is the masses, OC. Mm. That scares power.
Mm-hmm. Can we get some of these questions, Jay?
You throw out the fast pitch, OC.
Oh, I love it. We gotta go. We gotta hit all these topics, bro. All of them.
You know what? We got some good questions though. I took a couple of snapshots of, let's start with this one. It's from Rich. Okay. Mm. Name is Rich and his question's about money.
Okay.
So Rich asks, is money more important than success? For instance, at the start of your career, if you were offered $20 million and no Super Bowl or 10 and two Super Bowl wins, what would you have picked? It seems absurd players squabbling over a few million when they are already earning buckets.
Yeah, that's a very good question. At the start of my career, if I was offered the chance of $20 million and no Super Bowls and $10 million and two Super Bowls, mm-hmm. knowing what I know now, I'm taking $10 million and two Super Bowls, 100%, 100%. Now, if I was offered $10 million and no Super Bowls and $500,000 and two Super Bowls, I'm taking the $10 million every single time. It depends on the amount of money. You see, once you get to a couple of millions, right? You know, I'm not speaking out of experience or nothing, but I'm just saying.
I got to go. I got to get off this podcast. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying.
I'm not speaking like I know any of this, but you know.
Jeez, you're crazy.
Once you get up over 10 million, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Doesn't really, you know, 10, 20, 25, oh. You're living a same lifestyle.
25 know. Sitting on 25 mil.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're living the same lifestyle. It doesn't really mean much. But you know, those Super Bowls, they follow you forever, right? Like you're a legend, like you are. Whenever they introduce you, you are Super Bowl champion this first. Like, you can't buy a Super Bowl. Like, there's no amount of money right now you can say, listen, I'm going to go buy a Super Bowl. It's like one of the only things on planet Earth. You can't buy it.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. But $500,000 after taxes and agent fees is about $200,000. You can't live but, like, maybe 2 years off of that. Like, yeah. Really, 2 or 3 years off of that. And so now the financial security and the longevity actually probably means a little bit more than Super Bowls, I would say.
I hear what you're saying. It's easy. Now that I look back on it, I agree with you. And I do it because if you were a person that was like, I just want my money and I want to go disappear somewhere and do nothing and nobody ever see me, you better take that money.
Yeah.
You know? Now, if you can get those Super Bowls, you're always gonna want them. But I will say this. It is residual income to some extent if you've won those two trophies, right? Because you can always earn.
That's true.
You know, you always can earn. So what is that dollar amount or pound amount worth mm-hmm. in the future?
I don't know how many other two-time Super Bowl winners from London there are. I don't know.
I mean, listen, I threw the question at you. This is another one I found interesting. It's from Anthony. And Anthony looks like he has a very good kind of like a mustache. Is it down the sides? What is this if it goes like that?
The Fu Manchu.
He's got one of those. He looks like he got one. So, I mean, this guy looks like he could tackle somebody back in the day. From a player's perspective, how much does the situation at a club matter? The Texans look a mess. But if they're offering up more cash, are players still going there?
That's a great question. But again, it all depends on the situation the player is in.
Yeah.
If he's early in his career and he's looking for that money, he's going to go anywhere. The later stage of his career and he's looking for a championship and a winning culture, then he's going to accept less money to go somewhere else that's going to give him that. So everything depends on the player and exactly what stage of his career that he's in.
I totally agree with that. And it's tough though, but it is definitely one of those situations that you, unless you're in it, you don't know. A lot of questions about Aaron Rodgers. Any thoughts on that?
Listen, I like Aaron Rodgers, man. I've always liked Aaron Rodgers. I like him as I love him as a player. I like him as a person. He does have that quirky personality. You know, a lot of people might rub some people the wrong way, but he's never really, you know, he's never bothered me, man, because I feel him. I understand. You know, people who are quirky, we understand each other very well. You know what I mean?
So, are you pointing to yourself?
Oh, for sure. I'm really a weirdo. I'm 100% a weirdo, Jay. So, like, I feel him. I understand his whole vibe.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know what he's after.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's really expressly said, you know, what he's after. But Green Bay know.
Yeah.
They know what he's looking for. The truth hasn't really come out. You know, per se. So we'll find out eventually, but I don't have a problem with him. I think he's made enough money. He's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Probably looking for more.
Yeah. You are a man of principle and you've made decisions in your career based on principle. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's what he's doing? I mean, I'm asking you to speculate, but you've been in the situation where you stood up and you're like, you told me this.
Yes. Yeah.
Or, you know, this is the problem we have. And yeah. I'm going to stand up to that.
He's, from all indications, he's definitely a person of principle. And I believe if he feels that way, if he really feels that way, there's going to be trouble because he's not going to back down.
No.
If he feels he's been slighted in some way and he's doing this on GP, on principle,
I'm
the type of guy that would rather not play football than actually go back to that situation, if in fact it's this. Now, if it's all the other things, okay, that can be worked out. But principle, forget it.
When you threw out GP, I got a flashback. That's
that's on GP.
That's on GP.
You already know what that means.
I was ready. I was about to quit the podcast on GP right there. From Chris Forbes, okay? Hey, Jason, can you and OC explain the tactical advantage of timeouts? Other than the quarterback seeing something in the defense he doesn't like and wanting to talk to the coach to change the play, love the pod. You guys are flat out ballers. Hashtag uprise.
Go ahead, Jason.
Okay, yeah. I will say this. It's interesting how they use timeouts. They use them in all kind of different scenarios. One major one I see a lot is on defense, from a defense perspective. A coordinator, it might be a tough third down, right, OC? And he calls a timeout to see the formation, to see what they come out with, to adjust. I see that happen a lot. It's really what the coaches see. Yes, on offense, it's the quarterbacks. It also is, what is the temperature of the game? What's happening with your team? Can you feel they're tired, they're wore down? There's a drive happening, and there's just a sense of confusion. I got to stop this. I got to stop this momentum. So you also use your timeouts to control the momentum of the game, especially when it's not going your way.
Yeah, well said. I can say any better myself, Jason.
All right, OC, I promise this is the last one. Nathan Baldry, who is not bald, by the way. He has a full head of hair, OC.
All right.
So if you could both join one team this season, which team do you think your attributes could improve and take to the next level? You know, you disrupt the game better than anybody. So yeah. I'm gonna let you go first.
The truth of the matter is, Nathan, when it comes to a guy like me, my skill set can help any team. There's just not one team on planet Earth that doesn't need a guy of my caliber. So that's your question. I don't know. I mean, close your eyes, pick a number 1 to 32. I can help that team.
I know who right now.
Who you got, Jay?
Buffalo Bills. OC coming off the edge when the Bills are playing with a lead.
Forget it.
Going to eat. That you would, I mean, listen, that's what they need. That's why they got our guy FA over there. This is they need to get better pressuring the quarterback. I think you would fit in well. I'm gonna be a front runner, OC. Yep. I'm going to be a front runner. I'm going with Kansas City because I'm gonna tell you why. Jason Bell. This is where I fit in. I'm gonna immediately bring
What was that word? What was that? What
immediately.
Yeah, what is that? What does that mean?
Immediately is not a word. Immediately. Immediately. Did I just say another Jason word?
No, you corrected yourself. But the first one was immediately. There was an N in there somewhere.
It's the internet connection.
It's okay.
No, it
Go
isn't.
Ahead, bro. My bad.
It's on me. Oh my gosh. I was due for one, right? I was due. I would make a spark for your special teams, right?
Yes, you would.
An attitude. And then I'm definitely under Spags. Under Spagnola on your defense. Yeah. I'm playing corner and safety, right? It's a depth thing. They got good players, but one guy goes down, boom, I can go in. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you need more offensive linemen to suit up for the game. So that means you can sit one of your defensive backs down because you got Jay Bell. I can play two positions.
Yep, that's true. You know where you would have been best on Kansas City? You know where you would have been best? You would have been a great wedge buster.
I'm going to go down there and set the tone for the defense coming out. Set the tone, Jay Bell. Go down there and beat yourself up.
He's a wedge buster. He's a wedge buster. Fly in there. Oh, fly in the head first. Match.
Why was that so fun? Why was that so fun? I'm running into a guy your size and just sacrificing myself and loving every second of it.
Oh my God. Your boys is crazy, bro.
We were tripping. Your boys is crazy. We were having a good time. This is a good flashback. These questions have given us good flashbacks.
Oh, man.
OC was a wedge guy for 1 week, and then they were like, nah, we're going to keep him getting the quarterbacks.
Right.
Not at all. Shout out to all of our listeners. Thank you again. The Jason and OC podcast. We appreciate all the likes, all the comments, all the things that make it special for us. Uprise all day. We don't play. Wedge busters for life.
he's a wedge buster. You got to say it enough more.
We're a wet spot stop.
Oh, my stomach.
Oh, God.
I can't.
We need help. We need help.